But I was wanting to consider with you this evening a parable that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke. And this parable has been on my mind, and particularly the responses to the invitation of these men who were invited to this supper. But we have found here that the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry is currently residing, or he is currently in a Pharisee's house, as he had been invited to come to this man's house for supper on the Sabbath day. Now, while he was in this Pharisee's home, he had the ability and he was able to heal a man who was unwell. The Bible describes it as a dropsy, which was simply a build-up of fluid in the tissues of the man's body. And the Lord healed him on the Sabbath day, because the Lord is able to heal. And he was able, and he was willing. And there we have a picture of the sinner, and how that a sinner in the Saviour's presence can be healed spiritually by looking to him and by Christ having compassion. We present to you tonight a compassionate Saviour, one who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, one who's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let that sink into your heart tonight if you're not a Christian. That we present to you one who is not interested in your background. One who's not interested in what you do or do not own in this world as regards material wealth. No, it doesn't matter how much money you do or don't have in your bank account. You see, you're a sinner tonight. I was a sinner, and the Saviour is interested, and he is willing and desires to save sinners. But will you come tonight? Will you come to him, the Saviour who is able to seek and to save that which is lost, as we're told in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. But here in this situation, this narrative here, the Lord Jesus being in this Pharisee's house, he spoke this parable. You see, he was at a supper himself, and so he spiritualizes the supper that he was at to apply spiritual truth. You know, that's what a parable is. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did on a number of occasions throughout the scriptures, to apply very important spiritual truths for us to know and to heed, and for the hearers in his day. But he used an earthly example to get his message across, to illustrate the importance and the need, in this case, of the Great Supper. And obviously we're thinking about the gospel tonight and the invitation for sinners to come to him tonight. So that's what I want to simply consider with you for a few moments this evening, the parable of the Great Supper. And we'll be thinking especially about the excuses that the respondents gave to the servant of the man. And that was the title of my message. It's simply excuses. And we're thinking about this Great Supper. And the first thing I want to draw to your attention is the invitation to this Great Supper. Look with me again, please, to Luke's Gospel 14. And it says there in verses 16 and 17, "A certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready." Now we're told that this was a supper that this Pharisee had organized for the Lord Jesus to attend. And so the Lord Jesus tells a parable where a man had prepared a great supper. Now that word supper there, it speaks of a feast. And it would have been held at the end of the day when all of the business, when all the work was done. This was something which would have taken place in the evening time. You see, this man hadn't organized the feast or the supper for himself. No man could have ate all the food, I'm sure, that was prepared at that feast, at that supper. But he had prepared it to invite others to come. And as the Saviour said there, that there was many who were bidden to come. And just as the Saviour was invited to a supper that day, he wasn't the only one in attendance at the supper. But there was others. Like I said, there was that man who was unwell, and the Saviour healed him. There perhaps was other Pharisees there as well, and perhaps other friends of that particular Pharisee. And you know, it's nice whenever we're invited to a meal, isn't it? Our brother talked about a meal there in his announcements. And we all enjoy, I'm sure, getting invited to such an occasion, whether it's a birthday party or a wedding or something along those lines. It's always a very joyous experience. And I know as Free Presbyterians, we're well used to attending good suppers in our time. But here the Lord Jesus Christ, he's speaking of this man. He said, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And here we see, first of all, a glorious or a gracious invitation. It is a gracious invitation. You see, the Savior told of a man who had invited people to this supper which he had prepared. And God, in his message of the gospel, he invites sinners like you and me to come to him. And this is the wonderful truth about the gospel, that God bids all those who are not worthy of his supper to come. The Pharisee, he had only invited those whom he thought were worthy. He had only invited his friends to that particular supper. But here in the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ said that many were bidden. And that's the same about the gospel tonight. Many are bidden to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter whether you're brought up a Protestant or Catholic. It doesn't matter whether you're political or apolitical. It doesn't matter what your standing is in society, whether you're somebody who's very famous or somebody who's not known at all. It doesn't matter. Because whether you're somebody who has lots of possessions or doesn't have possessions, whether you're someone who is famous or not famous, the problem is still the same. And that is a problem of sin. But praise God, there is only one person who can deal with your sin and my sin, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, the gospel is a gracious invitation to come to Christ tonight. And that's what I want to urge upon you now, if you're not a Christian, is to come to him. We invite you in the gospel to come to him. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Who is it that invites you to come tonight? Is it a Pharisee? Is it a preacher? Is it a politician? No, it is Christ. Yes, I am, as a preacher, the mouthpiece to invite you to come, but it is Christ who invites you to come to him. And he commands you to come to him because you need to be saved. You must come and be saved tonight if you ever want to be in heaven. You see, as a sinner, you are separated from God by your sins. Your sins have offended God. Sin is an offense to God. Sin cannot be in God's presence. And that's why God is separate from sinners. But yet there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There is one who is able to bridge the gap that has been made by sin, and that is Christ. Perhaps you have seen it illustrated this way, that there's two mountains, and one side is God, and one side is man. And what is standing in the middle? It is the cross. And that is how we can come to God Almighty, the one who created this world. It's through his Son. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4, in the verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. We could quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Christ calls you to come to him tonight. When we think of what he said to the disciples in Mark 16, verse 15, he said to them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He didn't say to go to one particular country. He didn't say to go to one particular group of people. Yes, the apostles, some were sent to the Jews, some were sent to the Gentiles. But ultimately, the gospel is for everyone. The gospel is for the world. That's why he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You see, there was the commission that they had received from him to go in his name and to point sinners to himself. Not themselves, but to him. And he is able to save you tonight. This supper pictures the gospel for us. And the fact that God bids all sinners to come to him. That's why we believe tonight in the free offer of the gospel. Every minister who is ordained and installed in our churches or within our denomination, that is a vow they take in their, at their ordination, that they'll preach the free offer of the gospel. We're not those sorts of people who believe that God doesn't need or use human instruments to reach others for the gospel. We don't believe that we have no responsibility to do something. Of course we do. As believers, we have a duty. We have a responsibility to reach those who are not reached yet with the gospel, to implore them to come in, to hear the words whereby they may be saved, to implore them to come to Christ and be saved, because eternity is forever, and eternity is guaranteed for every one of us. But where you spend eternity will depend on what you have done with Jesus Christ, either heaven or hell. Heaven, a prepared place for those who are prepared, or hell, a prepared place for those who are not prepared. Are you prepared tonight? Are you saved? You see, this supper, we think of a supper and how there's lovely, tasty food at the supper. And we think of he who said this, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst." That is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ in one of his "I am" sayings in John's Gospel. And that is why whenever you come to Christ, all the sins and all the things that you sought pleasure in and fulfillment in and satisfaction in, they will never fully satisfy. They will never give you peace. They will never give you contentment. But when you come to he who is the bread of life, notice what he says there, shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. See, that's what Christ has done for many of us. And that's what he's able to do for you tonight in the gospel. If you come to him, if you turn with me, please, to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 25, please. And in Isaiah chapter 25, I want to read just one verse. It's Isaiah chapter 25, verse 6. And it says there, "And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines and on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined." And here was a prophecy. It was made hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus Christ was born. And it shows us here that there would be a feast where all people would be invited to come. And that is why we want to present and to reach to all whom we can the message of the gospel. But not only was it a gracious invitation, but it was an invitation that required a deliverer or a messenger. It was an invitation that required somebody to go and to actually deliver the invitation. We see there in Luke's gospel again, chapter 14, and it says there in verse 17, "And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready." You see, this man who had prepared this supper in the parable, he didn't go out himself, but he sent out his servant to go and to invite the people who were invited to come to the feast. And Christ calls men to be his disciples. He calls women to be his disciples. He calls Christians to serve him. He calls men to be preachers. He calls men and women to be missionaries for him, to go and to take the gospel to those who are in need, as we have thought about there in Mark 16, how he commissioned the disciples to go and to reach others, and how we tonight have a responsibility as Christians, no matter what our ability is. But we all have a responsibility, don't we, to reach others. You know what? That you don't have to be standing where I'm standing tonight to reach someone for the Lord Jesus. Whether it's giving out a gospel tract or sending a message to invite someone to the services, perhaps even seeking to stand in the open air or involved in the children's work, or seeking to go and be involved in a missionary endeavour. There's so many ways in which we can serve the Lord. You don't just have to be standing up at the front for everyone to see you. You see, there's an important work going on in the background. There is someone who came and opened the church and put the heating and the lights on. There's someone who's, or people who are working the sound desk and the internet to keep us online for those watching online. And these are all works and ways of seeking to reach others with the gospel. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a speaker. But you have to be available. Are you available? Are you doing something for the Lord tonight, dear believer? Oh, it's a privilege. It's an honor to be able to do something for the Lord. When we consider what the Lord has done for us, surely it's not too hard to even to give a cup of water in the name of the Savior. Surely it's not too hard to go and to ask someone to come, or even to seek to engage someone in conversation, perhaps in your family or your workplace, about spiritual matters. You see, God uses human instruments to reach others for the gospel. And that's simply what I am tonight, as a human instrument. We can all, as I am, having no sufficiency or ability in and of myself, but I'm reminded that my sufficiency is not of myself, but it is of the Lord. But also we have here tonight the message of the invitation. And that message is, come, for all things are now ready. And just as the supper was prepared by the certain man, and it was ready, he sent his servant forth to go and to tell the people to come. For it's ready. Come and enjoy the good things that have been prepared. And in the gospel tonight, we think of how Christ came into this old sin-cursed world, and how he went the whole way to the cross. And there he accomplished eternal redemption for sinners like you and I. And that is why he said at the cross, Tetelestai, finished, paid in full. The work was done, the work was completed. And all you have to do now is to come and to trust in him for salvation. You see, he is able and he is willing to save all those who come unto God by him. I was reminded of the words of the hymn. It's not in our hymn books, but it was penned by a lady called Eliza Hute. And some of the words of that hymn says, come, for all things are ready. 'Tis a banquet of love. Here's a free invitation from the Master above. It is written in crimson, drawn from Calvary's flood, from the wonderful fountain of the soul-cleansing blood. And the chorus says, oh, what fullness in Jesus. Oh, what gladness to know. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as snow. Are you obeying the Master tonight? Are you serving him? We've thought about firstly this evening about the invitation to this great supper. But secondly, I want to consider with you the ignorance of those invited to the great supper. The ignorance of those invited to the great supper. Look with me again, please, to Luke 14, verses 18 and to 20. And it says there, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. There we see that there was 3 invited to come to this great supper, but yet they all began and made an excuse why they couldn't come. What a privilege these individuals had to come to the supper. Something which was not going to cost them anything. All they had to do was prepare themselves and to make their way to where the great supper was. And that's the same in the gospel. The gospel is free to you tonight. You don't have to pay to be saved tonight. You don't have to pay someone to pray for you. You don't have to pay someone to act on your behalf before God. And yet, I think of the Roman Catholic tonight and how they have to pay If they're sick in the hospital and the priest comes to visit, they have to pay for a prayer. I heard a story recently where a priest visited a man who was in the hospital. And the priest came to the man's bed and the man rummaged around in his pockets. "Sorry, I have no money." "Well, that'll do, I'll get you next time." "Oh, salvation's free tonight. You don't have to pay. You don't have to work all your life through good works to earn salvation, no. You simply have to come. The invitation goes out to you tonight to come to Christ. You don't have to pay because it's free for every sinner." But that doesn't mean it didn't cost anything. It doesn't mean that salvation was cheap or free in the sense that there was no cost involved with it. There was a great cost involved with salvation. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ laying down his life. That he shed his precious ruby blood, which has often been described, I've heard it, as the coinage of our redemption. He shed his precious blood. He laid down his life, a ransom for us. Because he was willing to go the whole way to the cross. And he was willing to lay down his life for sinners like you and I. Why? Because he loves sinners. And that's why he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh yes, it's free for us tonight. It's free for you tonight, sinner. All you have to do is to come. As the invitation, whenever you're invited to a party or a meal, you come. You come at the invitation of the one who has asked you to come. And it's the same in the gospel. Come to Christ. The invitation goes out to you afresh tonight, whether in the meeting house or online. But we see here that there was ignorance displayed by those who had been invited. The first one said, he was a landowner. And it says there that he had went and bought a piece of ground. And he says, "I pray thee, have me excused." Now this man, he went and bought a piece of ground which he hadn't looked at. Now that seems a very strange and silly thing to do. And I'm sure if there's farmers in the congregation tonight and you have bought a piece of ground or you've bought a piece of land, you wouldn't just have rang up this estate agent and said, "That piece of ground, I'll buy it." You would have went and you would have got the maps and you would have got the deeds, or you would have got the maps and you would have had it perhaps even a walk around that piece of ground to see what sort of ground you were interested in buying, and whether it was good fertile land or whether it was an old swamp or marshy, rushy ground. You know, we have the access to all of these particulars, the maps, and able to walk around it. But this man here, he just bought it and he didn't even look at it, what it was he bought. And that was silly. But here he made the excuse, "Oh, I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused." You see, he wasn't properly prepared. You know, we can have, in our modern day, we can have fly up a drone and we can fly it round and get a good aerial view of the land. We can have the maps and see how many acres or hectares is in that piece of ground. We can carry out soil samples to see how fertile it may be. But yet this man, he just bought a piece of ground without even looking at it. And then there was another man who was a stockman, and he had bought 5 yoke of oxen. He says there, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I must go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused." Now, any cattlemen in the congregation or those watching in online, you wouldn't just go and buy an animal at the market or from another farmer without looking at what sort of an animal it was, whether it was a now lame cow or a prize stock bull. You would go and look at what sort of animal you were going to purchase before you would hand over the money. But yet this man, he had bought 5 yoke of oxen and he is going to prove them. He is going to perhaps plough with them or put a cart on behind them, whatever it was. And he was going to test them. Now what we must bear in mind about this is that this is at supper time. And as I said at the start of my message, this is at the evening time. So it would have been getting dark. And what did these two men go and do? One went and was going to look at a piece of ground when it was dark, and the second man was going to try and test his oxen at dark. And there we see the utter folly of their excuses. How silly and how stupid they were. How they were not willing to come. And so they made up lame excuses not to come. John Gill, the Bible commentator, says, "He does not so much as desire to be excused, and represents such who are fond of their sensual lusts and pleasures, and are resolved to indulge them, and will not be taken off from them by any means whatever." Let me think lastly of this man who had married a wife. He says, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." You see, his response was somewhat different to the two previous men, for they had said, "Oh, I pray thee, have me excused." And here he says, "I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come." He wasn't bothered. He was careless, just like these other two men. And it didn't matter to him that something had been, that a great supper had been prepared, and that this man who had prepared it had been gracious enough to invite these people to it. Now think of what excuses do people make today about not coming to Christ. We could go through, I'm sure there's a multitude of excuses why people won't come to Christ. But let me ask you tonight, what is your excuse? What is your excuse for still rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ? Perhaps you've sat in this church for years, and you go out week by week, or you log in or log out week by week, still rejecting Christ. What's your excuse tonight? Is it as silly an excuse as these men here? You see, the reason why these excuses are recorded for us here is to show that man, naturally, in and of himself, does not seek after God, does not seek after the gospel. And even though God in his mercy and in his grace has sent his Son to purchase salvation for sinners like you and I, yet that does not move sinners to come. Whenever you consider what Christ endured at the cross, even for us dear Christians tonight, how it ought to humble us afresh what he did for us, and how that God in his mercy and his grace has bid us come, and how we have come to Christ, and one day we will sit with him around the great marriage supper of the Lamb in glory. And what a day that will be. And yet when we think of those who made these excuses tonight, and it's typical of many in Northern Ireland, making excuses why they're not saved. Perhaps they think, "Oh, I can get saved when I'm retired. I can get saved at another time. I'm not going to get saved because of somebody else who professes to be saved." You know, there's many excuses that people use for not coming to Christ. Oh, friend, don't have an excuse tonight. Stop your excuse making and come to Jesus Christ tonight. I implore you to come to him and not to make any excuses anymore. We've thought about there the invitation to the great supper. We've thought about the ignorance of those invited. I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice tonight, that you will not be giving an ignorant response to Christ tonight. That you would not ignorantly reject him tonight. Because what if this was your last opportunity? What if you didn't get another opportunity to come to Christ? You see, the man who had prepared that supper, he says, "Those that were bidden shall not taste of my supper." And you know, God's invitation to you will come for the last time. What if that was tonight? What if tonight was your last opportunity to be saved? What if this was the last time God spoke to you about being saved, and you rejected it for the last time? How awful that would be for your soul, to spend the countless ages of eternity in the caverns of the damned because you were foolish, because you rejected God's mercy and God's grace, and you paraded all your excuses before God. You'll still be parading your excuses in hell. And you will regret why you rejected Christ. And yet you had all those opportunities, All those times where you heard your need to be saved, and yet you went out and you rejected him. You said, I will not have this man to rule over me. Some other time, perhaps. And how many have the devil blinded and deluded tonight to think that they can get saved at another time? Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. But lastly, I want us to see the intention of the Lord of the Great Supper. And we read there from verses 21 to 24, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And here we see the desire of the man who had prepared that great supper. He wasn't willing that this supper would go to waste, but he desired for his servant not to invite those who were poor and halt and lame, but just to simply bring them. No, we can't save you tonight. I can't save you tonight. But I would simply point you to the one who is able to save you. And if we could bring you to heaven, we would, but we can't. I can't cause an anxious thought tonight in your heart. But here we picture how the servant, he went out at the obedience, at the call of his master to go and to bring these people in. And there those different descriptions of people, whether poor or maimed or halt and blind, again, that's a picture of the sinner. And how we are spiritually, we're paupers. We're lost before God. We are poor and we are blind spiritually. But yet the man who prepared this supper, he wasn't willing for these people to go without. He wanted them to come and to taste of his supper. And God wants you as sinners tonight to come and to take of Christ. To come to him tonight. And that's what we say and urge upon you tonight in the gospel. The servant was simply to bring them in. Those people were to come. And what did he do? He said that there was still room. And that's a wonderful message. There's still enough room in heaven. There's still enough cleansing power in the blood of Christ, friend, to cleanse you from all of your sins. It shall never lose its power. And praise God, there is room tonight for more sinners to be saved. We see here the great compassion of this man, of the Lord, because he says here that word, compel them. And that means to constrain them. And there we think again of the Great Commission and how the Saviour, having that compassion for sinners, sent the disciples out to reach others. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, the Saviour was moved with compassion upon those who were fainting and were scattered abroad as sheep without a shepherd. And that is why we want you to come. We do not want you lost or alone. We want you over there, as the hymn writer said. We want you to be with us. We want you to be with Christ in heaven. And so we think of the gospel and how it is like a great supper and how it has been prepared and how the invitation has gone out tonight. The servant has gone and sought to bring others to Christ or sought to bring others to the Lord. And I seek to bring or to point you, and if I could, I would simply point you to him, to the Lord Jesus Christ. So in conclusion tonight, what are you going to do? Are you still making excuses of why you're rejecting Christ? Oh, come to him tonight. We've thought about this great invitation. We've thought about the ignorance of those who were bidden, but yet they didn't come. And we thought, lastly, there, the intention of the Lord. You see, the intention was for his supper to be filled. His intention was that for those who were poor and spiritually of a poor state, that they would come. And he says to his servant, not just to go into the cities and the streets of the lanes and the streets of the city, but to go out into the highways, into the hedges, to the countryside as well. Whether in the town or the city, we compel you to come to Christ tonight and to enjoy his great supper. Again, if I may quote Eliza Hewitt, she says, come, for all things are ready. heaven's bounty is spread. Take the cup of salvation, take the life-giving bread. Come the poor and unworthy, though sinful and weak. 'Tis the hungry and thirsty whom the Master doth seek. Come, for all things are now ready. Amen. Let us close our service in prayer. And I want to thank you sincerely for your attention tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this parable that the Saviour spoke. We thank you, Lord, how it is a picture of the invitation to sinners to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the great King and Head of His Church, the one who is the great Lord of the harvest and of the supper. And Lord, we thank you that there is room tonight in heaven. There is a Saviour from all sin. And Lord, He is able and He's willing to save all that come unto God by Him. Again, Lord, I pray that what has been of man will fall to the ground. But Lord, what has been of Thyself will prosper. That Lord, Thou wilt write Thy word upon our hearts. And Lord, I pray that as we part now the one from the other, we pray that Lord, Thou wilt take us to our homes in safety. Give us journeying mercies on the roads, we pray. And Lord, may everyone within the sound of my voice, Lord, may everyone be found in Christ, saved and ready to meet the Lord. For it's in Jesus' precious name I humbly pray and ask these things.